I wonder if we could turn in our Bibles again to the Gospel of John this time, and to John chapter 1. We're going to read from verse 1 of the chapter. The Gospel of John chapter 1, beginning our reading at verse 1 of the chapter. John chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light, that was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Amen. We know the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his precious and infallible Word to our hearts for his name's sake. Let's just unite in a wee word of prayer. Our loving God and our gracious Father, we come to thee tonight in our Saviour's precious name. And we thank thee for the opportunity of drawing nigh to thee. We thank thee for thy word. And we thank thee for the one who is the life and the one who is the light. And we thank thee, our God, that thou dost shine thy light in this dark and dismal generation in which we live. And we pray, Lord, that that light might shine into hearts tonight, into the darkest recesses, into the most hidden corners. And we pray that thy revelation might be given, and that men and women might heed thee and turn to thee. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we ask these things. Amen. Amen. Now, no matter where you turn in God's precious word, you'll find that the story of the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ is associated with light. Even in the carols and the hymns that we sing, we have much that is made of the light that surrounds the birth of the Saviour. You think of the hymn, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. And we sing, Hail, Thou Son of Righteousness, light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. Or again, we think of that lovely carol there that we sung tonight. O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. And then it goes on, yet in thy dark streets shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. When Robert Louis Stevenson was a little boy, another one, boys and girls, he was a Christian, but he was intrigued by the work of the old lamplighter. And he used to watch the lamplighter in those days when the street lights were lit. They didn't have electric light. You had to have somebody that went around and they would light the lamps, light the gas lamps, or the even sometimes the candlelit lamps. And he was watching the lamplighter go down the street. And as the lamplighter went down the street, the light shone further and further down into the street. And little Robert Louis Stevenson was very fascinated with that. And he exclaimed, he said with childish statement, look, look, he said, the man is punching holes in the darkness. And isn't that true? And that's, of course, what the Saviour came to do. He came to punch light into the darkness, punch holes in the darkness that surrounds us in this day and generation. And here in John's Gospel, we're told about one who was to bring light into the world. Here's a different account of the birth of the Saviour. In the Gospel of Luke, we have the straightforward account that we normally go to, or the Gospel of Matthew, where we're told about the wise men and so much of the narrative version. But here, we have one of the clearest images
of what Christmas is all about, what this time of the year is about. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything that made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And thank God today for that light. We come to think about the light that is brought to men and women by the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we think of the decorations at this time of the year, and much is made of light, and people put up lights and all the rest of it. But you know, the greatest light that we could have, and the greatest light that you could experience, is that light of God in your heart. And I wonder, do you know anything of that light this evening? Do you know anything of that light that takes away the darkness of your sin, takes away the darkness of your fears, takes away the darkness of your inabilities tonight? He is one who is able to shed light into the darkness of your heart. Maybe you're in despair tonight. Maybe you're in the darkness of depression, down in the very depths. You don't know where to turn or what to do. But I'm glad that there's one tonight who's able to bring light into the midst of the darkness that you face. And I wanted us to think about Him tonight. And I want us to think about His light as it shines upon our hearts tonight. And there are a number of things about that light that I want you to see very simply in the meeting. And the first thing I want you to see is the power of the light. You see, light has a great power. Light wakes and brings about the rhythms of life. The light causes us to waken in the morning, and the absence of light causes us to sleep at night. We think of how the universe turns, and there is light and there is darkness. And our eyes have 125 million rods and cones, specialized cells to detect the light. We think of how the brain has about one-fifth of its capacity in order to process the visual images and the light images that come into it. And of course, light then is very important for us. And you think about the way that light repels. The light repels the darkness, and it repels those creatures that love the darkness. And we think of how if you turn over a log or a stone, there are the little scurrying creatures that run away because they don't like the light. And light to many people is repulsive. And you know that the Bible says that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Perhaps you remember how before the Lord proclaimed that He was the light of the world, the scribes and the Pharisees brought Him a woman caught in the act of adultery. And you remember how they demanded of him His opinion of what her punishment should be. And you remember how the Lord just stooped down and He wrote in the ground. He wrote something on the ground. Probably what He was writing was their sins. And we read anyway that as He wrote upon the ground, that each one of those men that were the accusers of the woman went away. Because the light had exposed their sin and their darkness. And in the light of what our Savior was writing, whatever He was writing, it was caused them to go away. And you know there are so many today, and in the face of the light of God's precious Word, they go away. Don't want to listen to it. Don't want to hear what the Lord has to say. We read about one time that the Savior was speaking to men and women in John chapter 6, and He was outlining them, proclaiming the truth of the fact that if you come to Christ, you're not going to be popular. And of course, we read that many went away. Many went away when they heard these things. You know, that's the direct opposite to much of evangelicalism today. All that evangelicals want is to get crowds in. We want members. We want to pack them in. We want to get people in. But the Lord Jesus, when He spoke, frequently thinned the crowd out. But we think of how the quality of the light caused men and women to go away. And you know what it says in John chapter 3 and verses 19 and 20. It says, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth the truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Now I wonder tonight, when we think about Christ the light, is he repelling you? I wonder, are you one who has received the light, or are you one that is repelled by the light? Does the gospel of the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, when the call is made for you to come to Christ, when the call is made for you to bow your knee before him, is that something that you welcome or something that you shun? Dear friend, you see, the light is what makes the difference. Is the light something that attracts you, or is it something that repels you? You see, light repels men because they live in darkness and they love darkness. But then something else I want you to think about, how light reveals. You see, it would seem that in today's Western culture, men are less interested in God's light than they've ever been before. Rarely does the non-believer take the light of God in any way seriously. And one of the reasons is because that light reveals what is really in their hearts. You see, the light of God reveals ourselves. We never see ourselves as we truly are until you take the light of God's precious word, and God opens the book and he shows us the many things that we do and the many things that we don't do. And it's in the light of that word that we see what is right and what is wrong, and we see the wrong that we do. And you know, we're convinced when we look at ourselves in the light of God's word that we're born in sin and shapen in iniquity. Well, the light of God reveals us as we are. But not only does it reveal ourselves, but it reveals Christ. And thank God we think of how it reveals all that we know about the Lord Jesus Christ. We think of how the Pharisees in John chapter 8 had the problem with the Lord's claim that he was the Messiah. And they wanted to argue with him. And they wanted to debate with him. But you remember what John the Baptist said about the Savior, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." And after the resurrection, we read how that the Savior appeared to those men on the road to Emmaus, and they said, "Did not our hearts burn within us as he taught with us by the way, and as he opened unto us the Scriptures?" And the light of God revealed Christ. They saw Christ. You think of that word of John the Baptist, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And that's the one that we want you to see tonight. Not only does it reveal ourselves and reveal Christ, but it reveals God's salvation. We think of what it says in John chapter 8 and verse 12. "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Now, if we follow the light, we will have the light. Where will the light be? Within us. There will be that light, the light of God, the light of the Holy Spirit, the light that dispels the darkness that is within us. How do we get that? By receiving him. "But as many as received him," he says here, "to them give he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." And thank God tonight that the light of God can dawn in your heart. Thank God tonight that wonderful light of God can reveal Christ and reveal his salvation. But not only does the light repel and the light reveals, but the light raises and causes growth. And you think of how the light in the natural sphere causes the crops to grow and the crops to flourish. And we think of how the light of God brings godly character into the light or into the life of those that follow him. God's word is a lamp under our feet and a light under our path. You know, there's a simple story about a man who drove a team and a wagon safely along a dark road. And there were trees on every side. And people asked him, "However did you..." Of course, there was no lights in those days, or there might have been gas lights or whatever, but he didn't have them. He was travelling along a dark road, driving his wagon, and there were trees on every side, and they said to him, "How did you ever do that? How did you drive your wagon down that road with all of those trees?" They said, "Did you know the way? Did you know where the obstacles were?" He said, "No, I didn't." But he said, "What I did was I looked up above the trees and I could see the light of heaven. And I knew that if I followed the light of heaven, I'd be okay." And it's the same with us, isn't it? You know, if we follow the light of heaven in our lives, we will grow, we will flourish, we'll be safe. Something else that the light does, it gives reassurance. You think of the little child at night, and very often the daddy or mommy will leave the light on so it will be reassured, so that the fears will be assuaged. And I'm glad tonight that there's a reassurance that God gives to us. He gives us his comfort. He says we're kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. And he comes to comfort. He comes to help. He gives us his light to show us the way that we should go. And dear friend, in the midst of your fears, maybe you're fearful tonight. As you come to the end of this year, maybe there are fears that beset you in every sign. And as we sit in this meeting, we do not know so much about your fears, but the Lord knows. And thank God that he comes with his light to reassure you, to help you, to show you the way in the midst of the darkness, when the trees are enclosing and coming in upon us. Thank God we can look up tonight and we can see the way as we turn our eyes towards heaven. Something else about the light, we think of the comfort and the blessing that it brings to ourselves. But you know, the light reaches. The light reaches into the darkest recesses. You think the light that comes into the darkest corners, into the place where you would not expect it. And I'm glad that the light of God reaches to every tribe and every tongue and every nation. And no matter how deep down in sin you may be, and no matter what you've done in your life or what you've been involved in tonight, thank God that the light of God reaches you. It reaches. Thank God tonight for the light. We think of the power of the light. But then something else as we think about the light of Christ, and that's the property of the light. You see, the Lord Jesus is the pure light. You think of how he exposed sin, but Christ is never contaminated by sin. The light of God exposes the sin, and we think of how the light comes to touch sinners, but he is never touched by the sin of sinners. We think of him in the Bible, he's called the light of the world. But we read here in John chapter 1 and verse 10, it says, "He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not." He was in the world, but he wasn't of the world. He did not have his origin here. He had not the sinful nature of you and me, but thank God, of the purity of the Savior. He's the only one who could stand and say to men and women, "Which of you convinceth me of sin?" We read about him in Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 26, that he's holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. Oh, thank God for the purity of his light. And he needed to be pure in order to be our Savior, in order to stand and be in our room and in our stead. Oh, we think of the flickering lights of the candle. We think of the flickering light of the oil lamp in olden days. And often the light would flicker and go down and go up. But this is pure light. Something else, it's constant light. Not like the candle, not like the oil lamp. It is constant light. Albert Einstein was able to construct his famous theory of relativity because he said that there's one thing that is constant in nature, and that's the speed of light. That was his constant. He said everything else is relative to the speed of life. And you know, we think of how the light does not change, and certainly the light of God does not change. We live in a world of constant change. Fashions change, landscapes change, seasons change, years change, our bodies change, but he changeth not. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He says, the prophet Malachi says of our God, "For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." He's the solid rock. He's the firm foundation. He is not going to change. And because he doesn't change, he's still able to save. You know, we maybe think sometimes in the bottom of our mind that because we live in this modern age and things have changed and fashions have changed, that the gospel has to change, or that the gospel is not as powerful as it ever was. But I'm glad tonight that I come to a God who does not change. And we can say that because he does not change, wherefore he is able, therefore, to save, also to save them to the uttermost, that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. He is constantly able to save. And then not only is it a pure light and a constant light, but it is a vital light. This is a living life. You think of what the Bible says here. It says here that in him was life, and the life was the light of men. The life, this is a living life. The life and the light are inextricably woven together. You can't have the life without the light, and you can't have the light without the life. You think of how the Lord in the beginning said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And he brings life. Life and light, of course, are bound together even in nature. There needed to be light to bring life. You think of the plants that grow in the fields, and they need the light in order to grow. They need the light in order to make the chlorophyll that brings about the goodness and all the rest of it. And it is the life that comes from the light. And we think of how the light brings life into our hearts. The entrance of God's word brings light. It brings light. And dispels the darkness, dispels the dullness that's in our hearts, dispels the darkness of our sin, and brings light today, and brings life. Have you that life? Have you that light? Oh, do you know the one? He said, "I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." Oh, thank God for that abundant life that's found in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we see something of the properties of the light and the power of the light. But one more thing I want you to see, and that's the purpose of the light. Now, of course, the light is to dispel darkness. And we think of the Savior. We read about the Savior in his prophecy of him. Simeon recognizing the child when he was brought to be circumcised and go through the ceremonies of the Jewish religion, he said of the Savior, quoting a prophecy, he said that he was a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of his people is Israel. And he comes to dispel the darkness in the hearts of Jews and Gentiles. And we think of that darkness as a double darkness. There's the darkness of human ignorance. He's come to dispel that darkness. There are so many people who do not know. To the Jewish mind, that metaphor of darkness was to do with the Gentile world, that it was a world that had not received the grace of God or the revelation of the Torah or the prophets. And they said, these Gentiles dwell in darkness because they do not know. And there are untold millions today still in deep darkness who do not know. But thank God today he's come to dispel the darkness. And as you open the word of God tonight, you've been able to see the fact that the Savior has come. But not only is there the darkness of ignorance, but there's the darkness of willful blindness. And that's a different thing. The Bible says he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. And that was a willful thing. That was a deliberate thing. They turned their back upon the Savior. And you think of the darkness that there has been in this world. We think of the darkness of the creation. Before God spoke the light into existence, all was dark. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. And then God spoke light. But then there was that other darkness, the darkness that man entered into in his sin. But thank God that the Savior has sent light. As he sent light into the creation, so he sends light into the hearts of men and women to dispel the darkness. Thank God this darkness is darkness in the which is darkness in the heart can be dispelled. Darkness is a funny thing, of course. If you think of darkness as really not a thing at all, it's an absence of a thing. It's the absence of light. But if you think of the low light, you can have normal light, you have bright light, flashing light. But without light, you're in darkness. And so many today are in darkness. But thank God the Lord can say, let there be light. And as he said that, and light came upon this world in an instant of time, he spoke and it was so. So it can be in your heart. He can speak that word and the light of God's salvation can dawn in your heart. Thank God you can be saved tonight. You can know that you're saved by the grace of God. So he comes to dispel the darkness. And then he comes to deliver hopefulness. You see, light often points the way to life in both the spiritual and physical realms. It often brings hope. I read about an illustration about the wartime, and there was a dispatch by a war correspondent by the name of George Weller somewhere in Australia, as they would have said in those days. They never gave the location, but it was an incident in the Java Sea, and a destroyer was torpedoed with 116 men on board, and that destroyer went down. And the men were struggling in the oil-burdened waters, swimming about, clinging to rafts, crying for help. And the cruisers that were about sought to help them. And there was an American cruiser by the name of the Houston. And they threw over some of their life preservers, their life savers, their life bands. And the American issue life bands or life savers had lights on them. And they were able to put on these lights, or these lights began to flash. And it was because of the light that guided the rescuers in to know where the men were. In the midst of the darkness and the oil and the black smoke of the torpedoed ship, oh, it was completely black. And only for those lights, those men were lost. The light was their hope. And the only hope that we have is in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's your hope tonight. It's the only way they're ever going to be rescued. You're away from God in your sin, away in the mountains wild and bare. But thank God tonight that the light of God flashes, and you can find hope in that light tonight. Something else that the light does, it dispels the darkness. It delivers hopefulness. But it also draws us to the Savior. Think of those words in John chapter 8 and verse 12. It says, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And the light draws us, and we're attracted. And unregenerate men very often are not attracted to the Savior. But when the Savior begins to work, when the Holy Spirit begins to work, there is that attraction to Christ. I wonder tonight, do you see the one who left the splendors of heaven knowing his destiny? Do you see the one who came to be our Redeemer? Do you see the one who came to give his life, to die in agony, to die in torture, to live a life of righteousness, and then to give his life as a ransom for many? You think of the wrath of God that was our due poured out upon him. And you think of all of these things, dear friend. Is there anything that draws you to him? Is there anything that says, I want this Savior? I want his salvation. I want to know him. I want to know his blessing and his grace and his goodness in my heart. Dear friend, tonight you can find that blessing. Oh, that the light of God might attract you to him, and that you might come to his side and find him whom to know is light and life eternal. Oh, dear friend,
May you come to the light tonight. He is the light of the incarnation. He is the light of the birth. He is the light that we need to find, especially at this time of the year. And may you come to that light and that life this evening. Let's just bow, please, in a wee word of prayer. Our loving God and our gracious Father, we do thank thee for the opportunity of coming to thee in the place of prayer tonight. We thank thee for the one who is the light of men and the light of the gospel. We thank thee for the shining of that light tonight. And we pray that men and women may turn to thee and find thee as their Saviour and as their God. Bless thy word, write it upon our hearts tonight. For it's in Jesus' precious name I would ask these things. Amen.